Hey, a bunch of cool things going on our website right now, 1620thezone.com, including, for all you gas mowers out there, the Field of Green sweepstakes. They're giving you your chance to win 5,000 smackaroos for all your home improvement plans. Just learn how to enter and enter at 1620thezone.com. We're joined now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by our good friend Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Sam, good afternoon. How are you? Samuel? Oh, God.
No, you got me.
Oh, he's there. Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, we were going to wait. We were just going to wait dead air as long as it took.
No. I was just driving through Midtown Lincoln, you know, the great area of that town. You're familiar with that part of Midtown Lincoln.
I am. It's like a black hole.
I don't know about that.
There's all there is chicken restaurants and no cell service.
That's right. Now, there is chicken restaurants for sure. And, just drove by the old Chick-fil-A at 48th and
Oh, yeah.
And it's as busy as usual.
Yeah, you're right in the heart of it, man. You're right in the heart of it.
For people who don't know, this Chick-fil-A is not well conceived design-wise.
It's not.
And so, like, they stuck it into a corner instead of into a middle. So the cars snake out into a Target parking lot, or I guess a Super Saver parking lot. And it's not a good setup at all for the fanatical love for Chick-fil-A in Lincoln. It's a tie between Cane's and Chick-fil-A in Lincoln for which one gets more traffic on a daily basis.
Oh, it used to be Cane's right there at that 48th, but I don't know. Chick-fil-A might have it now there. There's a lot going on. And then there's a Popeyes like a half a block down the road even further.
There is. It's very rare that Chick-fil-A and Cane's butt heads with such geographical proximity. Usually in most places, they know better than to, they kind of stay away from each other. But on 48th Street, they're right there. It's a battle royale.
Yeah. No, you got to get in there. You got to get in there. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald is with us. All right, Sam, coming off of practice on Saturday, I appreciate, do you appreciate Matt Rhule's tepidness in, you know, saying out loud what I think we're all starting to get the sense of right now, which is that Dylan Raiola is their quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate his tepidness because there's a spring game on Saturday and who knows how that's going to go, you know, like they're going to be competitive. And it's probably not going to be quite the, hey, the offense is going to just do whatever it wants environment. I think they'll try to make it challenging for both sides of the ball. And yeah, so like, you know, he's going to have to work against the defense. I don't think there's going to be a ton of first teamers out there, but you don't want to put too much out there until the public gets to see it. And so I think Saturday, if Dylan plays really well, what we'll hear is, oh, yeah, he's been doing all this stuff during the spring. If he doesn't, I think we're going to hear, well, he's been looking really good during the spring. So, like, you know, but you don't want to put that out there before, you know, they put together the key performance. So Saturday is important in that way, and I think he'll play fine. I've heard good things about Raiola, too. I haven't seen them with my own two eyes because we really haven't seen practice. So, I'll go by based on what happens on Saturday. It's a grain of salt, but it's a grain nonetheless, and we'll see what happens.
Do you think they're prepared? I was thinking about kind of what he has to be this year, and we know that he has this really good arm talent, and quarterbacks of that caliber like have this ability to make really crazy awesome throws, but also have a tendency to maybe trust it a little bit too much, and that leads to some mistakes. How do you think that will counteract with what Nebraska has around him and kind of what they want to do on offense? Like, how good of a fit is it to put that caliber of player in a position where Nebraska's offense is at right now?
I think it can be really beneficial. One thing that I would discount, too, is if Nebraska's receivers have kind of taken that next step, let's say Jalen Lloyd, for example, is a more effective receiver in the slot. And Jalen Lloyd's not just going for, you know, seam route bombs, but he's able to work the middle of the field. He's slightly taller than Billy Kemp, who, as it turns out, was kind of short. Like he just wasn't quite tall enough, I think, to handle Jeff Sims for sure. And Harburg didn't hit him a lot either. How, there's maybe some things that Nebraska can do to help Dylan Rayola out spacing pass routes. I think a player of his caliber or his talent, I should say, can do a lot of things. I think he's capable of many, many things. If you give him some time and you're not trying, you know, it's not necessarily going to be a 400 level offense, guys. It's probably going
right.
to be 100, 200 level. His technique can probably get him to some of the things that most freshmen can't do. But when I say 400 level offense, I'm talking about stuff that you get into when you're a fifth-year senior. Or some of the past concepts, for example, Tanner Lee was throwing. Now, Tanner threw some interceptions, for sure, but some of the stuff that Nebraska ran that year was pretty hard to stop. But, you know, he also needed a quarterback who had been in college football for 5 years. So who Dylan's going to be in year three and who he is in year one, stop the same player. He's going to be a much more advanced player by his third year when he understands all the defenses that he's going to face and all the counters to it. So I think there's things he can do on Saturday. People will probably see those things. One thing I think Dylan's pretty good at, I don't know if we'll see it on Saturday, is the ability to kind of hold a pose that sort of focused in one direction and still have the footwork and the arm strength to make a throw slightly across his body in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody can do that. That's actually a skill. And I think he probably has it. By that, what I mean is, you know, if you're thinking about like a backside dig, you can look at the front side, you know, the backside dig would be as opposed to his right side. And so you're looking at the front side and you're trying to make something happen there. And then you come to that backside and you're able to kind of throw it almost flat footed or almost on the top of your feet. And it's there.
Just a flick of the wrist.
Yeah. And it's like a 14-yard throw, and backside digs take time to generate, but they're great routes if you can get to them, or, you know, they're great routes. The other thing that I think is really important to watch is they have to get more out of their quick passing game. Now, I know Nebraska fans are thrilled with the sideways passing game, so to speak, but you've got to be able, I'm not exaggerating, 5 to 10 times a game, you've got to be able to throw the ball out to the edge and get 4 or 5 yards to take some pressure off of your run game. Because your run game's not going to get five yards per tote in the Big Ten the first 10 times you run it. You've got to get some guys out of the box a little bit. And the way you do that is, okay, you're going to put an extra guy in there, or your safety's sneaking up. I'm going to throw it out here where we've got basically 3-on-2, and we're going to try to get 17 on you there. And then all of a sudden the defense changes. They've got to get better at that. They basically stopped running it last year, so they've got to find a way to get back to it.
Hey, Sam, how do you feel about that run game right now? The way they talk about the offensive line is super encouraging, and there's reason to think that group will be another step better this year. But there's still some concerns about the running backs in particular, and, you know, not only who might they use and when might they use them, but also, you know, just the guys that are actually available to you at that spot. Like, how do you feel about that picture in totality right now?
Great question, and I'll try to give as short an answer as possible while giving a slightly long. There's a lot of different ways you can look at a run, and what Nebraska, I think, probably wants to do is limit the number of times that its quarterback, i.e. Dylan Rayola, is running the football. And you do that by handing the ball off to the running back and get 3, 4, 5 yards, occasionally busting a run. The challenge that Nebraska has is when you go to that system, like, we are not going to run the ball today with our quarterback. We're going to let him stand back there and distribute. What you're kind of asking is to run for about 120 yards, maybe 140, with your back, and not use the quarterback. Because when you enter the quarterback into the run game, you're going to get more yards, Connor, but you're going to get more fumbles. There's just no
– Yep.
It's not just correlated. It's causative, right? And so – you know, how does Nebraska feel about that? And how do Nebraska fans feel about it? Like, again, you have to understand that if you're going to a pro-style offense, the goal of the run game is to establish and control physicality, but it's not necessarily to break 75-yard runs like you can in the option. The goal of the run game is to establish those things and then set up the throw and help your offense throw the ball. And I think that's the direction Nebraska wants to go in. Nebraska fans have to get used to that. And what that looks like I said, is running for 140 a game. You know, you're not running for 217. And we'll see how long it takes for Nebraska to get that kind of offense. Last year, they obviously couldn't do it. They had to run the quarterback all the time. They did. They ran the quarterback, I don't know, 36% of the time.
Yeah, it was a lot.
They were probably number one or number two among all Power 5 teams last year. I think Boston College was number one. Nebraska was number two. If you do that, you should just plan on fumbling the ball, because that's what's going to happen.
No doubt.
With all the exchanges and all the things that you have to do. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up, because I definitely tracked this last year. I have to pull it up in a spreadsheet. How much of their rushing was with the quarterback last year? Let's see if I can get close to it. Oh, boy. I don't know if I totaled it all together. But, I mean, there were games where, I mean, the quarterback was running it 20 times. Like,
yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, I mean, you go to the Purdue game, you know, and, oh, hey, everybody's shrugging it off. They're up 24-0 or whatever. But, you know, Heinrich Harper was out basic. You know, he was never the same after he got his chin split open. I mean, even though he didn't hurt his leg until later in the season, he was the same player after he got jacked up on that play. It just, you know, and he's out there wandering around. He should have got rid of the ball, of course. But you know, this is what happens when you're running that, when you're playing that kind of offense. You know, your quarterback's out on the edge. He's trying to make a move. He's improvising. I know that was a pass. I don't think it was an option play, but like, you know, these are the things that occur, and you have to square yourself with it if that's what your offense is going to be. And if you're going to do the other thing, then you have to run the ball in a traditional way, which is to hand the ball off.
Okay, so let me put it this way then. Is this a fair characterization of Nebraska's offense 2024 compared to 2023? Or I guess what the hope is. Higher floor, much higher floor. And then what happens, like, is the ceiling mildly higher because of the quarterback play? Or, I guess, what label would you put it on it from that regard?
Higher floor, higher ceiling.
Higher floor, higher ceiling. How much higher ceiling?
I think, you know, within Big Ten games, I think they can probably potentially put, you know, 24 per game on the board. And I think last year it was around 18. So, you know, I think 24 to 25, I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's going to make you faint with its explosives, but I do think it's going to be pretty effective at times. You know, we'll just have to see. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd have to pull your listeners as to what they think beautiful offense looks like. It's not going to be Alabama in 2020.
Right.
It's not going to be like that. So.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. This stuff is offense hard. Defense is hard too, but defense is in some ways about athleticism, reaction, you know, split second stuff that you have to recruit, develop almost, you know, on the field, but you got to get guys that are to do. That's what you say. On offense, it's just, you have to make choices on like every play as to how you're going to do what you're going to do and why. And I think they would probably like, Connor, I think they'd probably like to have an offense like Minnesota. Maybe not exactly that. Maybe a little bit more diverse, right? But, you know, because it's not going to be all RPOs.
Yeah. Good run game, good receivers, can take the top off if it wants to. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Like, it's not going to be – of course they'd love to, you know, if you can get a Oregon, you can get a Bo Nix in there and do all the stuff, well, then all's better. But, no, I mean, I think they would like to, you know, be a 375 to 400-yard offense a game. If they did that, then you're probably – then you just sort of punch in the numbers and you're probably getting about 24 points a game, probably winning eight. I don't know if the defense is going to be quite as good as it was last year numerically. It might be actually better without being numerically better, because I think offenses will come to the table with better plans than they had last year. I mean, Minnesota had no idea what to do against Nebraska's defense in that first game. They were lost. And a couple of the other teams Nebraska played were kind of lost, too. They didn't really know what to do. And so I think by the end of the year, teams have started to figure it out a little bit and were a little bit better against it. And I'm guessing this year there will be an additional adjustment. And then Tony White will have to adjust his approach to adjust to the adjustment.
Hey, Sam, so you wrote about that's a good transition into the defense. You asked a question to Rule about third down defense, and then you wrote about it in your rewind. I asked this to Schaefer earlier. I asked you the same thing. I think we'd both agree, like, you know, they ended up being pretty explosive last year. So they had 32 sacks, but it was kind of spread around from different places, and they had to manufacture some of it, and some of it came out of the stress of the defense. You know, Jamari Butler led them with 5.5 sacks. If there's a level that they can go up in explosiveness, do they have a guy on the defensive end who can get them, you know, 8, 9, 10 sacks, or does it still have to come kind of by committee?
That's a great question. Sometimes the guy that goes from 5.5 to 10 is that guy, and that would be Jamari Butler. Sometimes that happens. Often it doesn't. So do they have somebody else? I don't know. I think they certainly would like that to be Prince Willem and Yellen. He's been banged up. I think Cam Lenhart is a tactician, and I think he can give you 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I don't know that he is a scream off the edge.
Yeah. Nobody solid knows player.
What the hell to do with this guy?
Yeah.
He's a good player, but I don't think he's that guy. And we'll have to see. You know, it can be an undersized guy. It can be somebody who's 6'2", 223 pounds in college football. In theory, it can be like that in the NFL, too, although there's not many players like that in the NFL anymore. What you'd ideally love to have is just a butt kicker off the edge. You know, somebody who's 6'4", and 247 pounds, and is just able to dominate. And those guys are hard to come by. Sometimes you gotta hope they come by, or they kind of fall in your lap. Maybe James Williams can come off the edge for sure. I don't know how much of a run stopper he is, so that's a challenge for him. But James Williams is a good pass rusher for sure. So they've got a guy that on third down they should be able to turn to in a 4-man pass rush, and that'd be James Williams. But I don't know that James can play all three downs.
Yeah,
you know, he's pretty slender, so. You know, a tackle against him in 2nd and 7 may not go very well.
Yeah, still smells.
I think they'll be a pretty good pass rush. Not elite, but decent. And that's about all you can hope for, I think, until you recruit that dude. And, you know, they haven't had that dude in the program probably since Randy Gregory. And it'd be nice to get that dude in there again. I just don't know if they have him.
That is right. They haven't had a guy who's had 8 sacks since Khalil Davis, and then before that, Randy had 9.5 in 2013, and that's been basically your high watermark individual sack guys over the years.
Oh, yeah, and Khalil can do the job. I mean, Khalil was an unbelievable athlete within the program, maybe the best athlete Nebraska's had on the defensive side of the ball since Randy Gregory. I mean, Khalil's an incredible athlete. Now, he was the most disciplined player in his pass rush lane, but he was an incredible athlete. And probably could have played off the edge in this defense. They probably would have slimmed him down and made him 6'5", you know, 265 or 270, and let him play Jamari Butler's position, and he would have been awesome. But that's not what they had him doing when he was here. So
yeah, ended up actually kind of going the other way a little bit. All right, Sam, thanks for the time as always. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care,
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. As always. Fantastic stuff from him. Go read his rewind, by the way, on third downs and how Nebraska's been bad at that. And how they need to get better. It kind of weaves into our conversation about sack getters and things like that. A little breaking news while we were in the conversation there with Sam. The Jets are moving Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. What a great day for Denver Broncos fans. Brand new cool rebrand that everyone loves and a brand new fun quarterback.
That everyone loves.
Yes, that everyone loves. He's like the palate cleanser, the ginger after the sushi to Russell Wilson. That'll make the mouth taste good.
That's what many people call Zach Wilson.
Poll question: is Zach Wilson like the ginger after the sushi to Russell Wilson? Does that even make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you.
One more time. Say it again one more time.
So let's just do the one-to-one. Is Zach Wilson to Russell Wilson like ginger to sushi?
Okay.
That's the colon, the one-to-one. All right. At Happer Show, please vote. We'll recap the polls and we'll tell you what to watch when we return on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.